As beginning in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray in the same words that our Lord Jesus gave us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. And let us pray to the Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, come by the powerful intercession of the Immaculate Heart, your Mary, your well-beloved spouse. Come, come, Holy Spirit, come by the means of the powerful intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, your well-beloved spouse. Come, come, Holy Spirit, come by means of the powerful intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, your well-beloved spouse. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay, today we are in entry 89. Mm-hmm. It's volume 27, December 29, 1929.
Okay. Entry 89, December 29th, 1929, volume 27. My daughter of the divine volition, come to listen to my lessons. In descending from heaven to earth, to form the redemption, I was to form the new Eden. I was to restore the first act and the beginning of the creation of man in my humanity. So Bethlehem was the first Eden. I felt within my little humanity all the strength of our creative power, the ardor of our love with which man was created. I felt the fibers of his innocence, of his sanctity, of his dominion with which he was invested. I felt within me that happy man. Oh, how I loved him, because having lost his place of honor, I was taking back his place, because it was befitting for me to first place in me the order of how man was created, and then descend into his misfortune in order to lift him up again and place him in safety. Therefore, in me, there were two continuous acts fused in one. The happy Eden with which I was to form, enforce all the beauty, the sanctity, the sublimity of the creation of man. He was innocent and holy, and I, surpassing him, was not only innocent and holy, but was the eternal Word, and having within me all possible and imaginable power and an immutable will, I was to completely reorder the beginning of the creation of man and lift fallen man up again. Otherwise, I would not have acted as God, nor would I have loved him as our work, come out and created in an ardor of our love. Our love would have felt stopped and as though impotent, which cannot be, had I not completely mended the lot of fallen man and the destiny of the way he was created. It would have been a slash to our creation, and they would have accused us of weakness had we not restored man completely. Therefore, Bethlehem was my first Eden, in which I did and embraced all the acts that innocent Adam did, and those with which he would have done had he not fallen. Our divinity was waiting with justice, my requital, in his place. And as I kept redoing what innocent Adam would have done, so I lowered myself and stretched out my hand to lift him up again from his fallen state. Amen, fiat.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Now, as we continue study these passages that talk about the original state of holiness in which Adam was created, and hopefully we can see through these passages that everything that the Lord has done right after the fall is for the human race to receive this gift. What the Lord has done throughout the economy of salvation, the history of salvation, it is for the human race to receive the gift that we lost. So even the prophets, the incarnation, everything that our Lord Jesus did, his passion, his death, his resurrection, the sacraments, everything is a preparation for all of us, for the human race to receive what we lost through the fall of Adam and Eve, through that action. And we see that in the book of Genesis in the fall of Adam and Eve. But as we study these passages, we have to connect all this with the church somehow, because otherwise it will not make sense and we will get lost. And then this is sometimes the problem when people, they read the book of heaven or passages from the book of heaven separate from what the church teaches. And if you read the communicate that the bishop in Corato gave us, the last one, he asked us to continue studying these writings and all of that. And he mentions that there are not errors, there are some ambiguities. He mentions that some words that need to be explained and things like that. And he tells us that these writings, they have been a tremendous benefit, spiritual benefit for a lot of people. And he asked us to read this in union with the teachings of the church, basically with what the church teaches, which is articulated in the catechism. If you look at the catechism, you see the documents from the Second Vatican Council, from Trent, and all the way back to the fathers of the church. So you see that the faith, the understanding of the faith is articulated there, and is organic. It is being articulated in a beautiful way. And even the church in the catechism says, and even though we know that everything is being revealed in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ, we call public revelation, the church says, but still there is something more that we need to explain, that it will take us time, and all is the task of the church. Basically, that the church will have to continue working on this and asking the Holy Spirit to give us light and wisdom and understanding to understand all that we have not been able to understand fully. So I say this because in this passage, we read that the Lord says that Eden was the first, Bethlehem was the first Eden for him. So we read in the catechism, of course, that Adam, and in the Bible too, in the book of Genesis, that Adam was placed in the Garden of Eden. And he had a very particular and very specific job to do. He had very specific orders, basically, of what he will do and he will not do. He was given to him, everything was given to him. Dominion over everything. So basically, he is the king of creation. That was molded after the king of creation who is Christ. So the first Adam, as we know, is molded in the image of the second Adam, which is Christ, as we always talk about. And this is what the church tells us in the catechism. So in reality, the second Adam is the first Adam. And this first Adam, as we know it in the book of Genesis, his job, his duty was to correspond, to recognize and to correspond, to offer back everything that was given to him. How? In an act of recognition and he was able to eat from everything but from that tree. And then we find that after he ate from that tree that he was not supposed to, he lost that original garment that covered him, the garment of light. Then he finds himself exposed. He suffers now. He finds himself in dire need. But in this first Eden in which he was placed, he was supposed to just remain in that union with the one who loved him so much that had created everything that existed out of love for him. And he was called just to love, basically. He was being called to love and to remain in love. It's very interesting because right after the resurrection, this is what our Lord Jesus asked to the one who later on will become his the first among the apostles. Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? Because the first Adam was called to remain in love. And why is the Lord Jesus comparing Bethlehem with, for him, is the first Eden? Because in there he found the perfect correspondence of love. In there, love basically was welcome and love was able to be in love, to receive that correspondence of love from the creature, in this case from the Blessed Mother. But not only from the Blessed Mother, because even the Lord later on, he explains that even though Saint Joseph at the beginning didn't know about this, he plainly, he says, but later on, he knew it because I explained, I revealed it to him. And I just want to give you that passage so that we're not going to read it, but I just want to connect it with that so that later on you may go and look at that if you want. That passage in which our Lord talks about that is from volume 12. It's January 24, 1921. You have the study guide. It's in the section of Saint Joseph. And I'm only mentioning this because the Lord is talking about Bethlehem, and we know that Bethlehem is that is composed of the house of Nazareth. Is composed of the Blessed Virgin Mary and Saint Joseph. Saint Joseph cannot be separated. Is part of the household. But why is our Lord comparing Bethlehem with Eden? Because he felt in his little humanity, he says, all the strength of our creative powers, the ardor of our love. He felt that correspondence. And for us, that we know now this gift that has been revealed to us through the writings of the servant of God, Luisa Picaretta, and knowing that it is part of what the church is calling us to do in the Catechism 358. He's telling us that our duty is not only to love, to know, and to serve God, but also to offer back all his creation. Basically, to love him in and through his creation, to give that correspondence of love, of honor, adoration, even before we ask. That's why even in the gospel, I think the Lord says, before you ask, your Heavenly Father already knows what you need. Because before we ask, we are supposed to fulfill our first duty. What is our first duty as creatures? To love, to honor God. Even we read this. And we hear it. If you go to Mass every day, you should hear it every day or recognize it in the preface. It is our duty and our salvation to give you praise always and everywhere. That's the entrance of the preface right after the offering. So it is all over the place. And we don't see it sometimes because also, and this is the sad part, that we are not catechized. And what does it mean to be catechized? Well, let's go to the catechism in number four. In a very simple way, the catechism says that it says catechesis basically is to be instructed, to be educated in the faith, basically to study the faith. And this means that we have to understand basically the history of salvation or the economy of salvation. That when we come to writings like this, we have to understand these writings with the whole teaching. Not separated just by themselves. So now if we read in the catechism that in the beginning, Adam and Eve, they were created in union with God, and they basically received this divine participation at every moment, with every single breath, with every movement, with every action, physical, spiritual, That they were being filled with God, basically. Or they were being filled with love. At every moment they were receiving love. And they were able to feel it and experience it. And even they felt that hunger for more, that thirst. Even the psalm says, you know, like if the psalm, the psalms, they articulate this also. They give us a notion that my soul pines for you, right? The psalm says. And they were able to feel this, but what was happening with God? We can understand probably what happened in the person of Adam, that he felt that hunger for more, that thirst to be filled with more and more and more and more. But what happened in God? Because God is inexhaustible. He was just waiting for that moment that he was able to unleash his love. More and more and more and more, more love unleashing from his bosom. To be able to release that tsunami of love. Always. Because the container was the creature that was able to correspond. So basically, what happens in the Blessed Trinity among the three persons, God wanted to replicate or to reproduce that outside of himself, which in the Book of Heaven, he calls it that extra outside of himself. And in doing that, also man was growing in the not only in the image, but in the likeness. Man was learning to do what the Blessed Trinity does among themselves, what they do among themselves. So in his humanity, our Lord Jesus was able to experience this. So we have to understand also that the humanity of our Lord was, excuse me, the nature, the divine nature of our Lord was restricted by the humanity, by his humanity. So his divine nature was able to operate in that little humanity. Even from the moment of conception, he was able to operate from there, but was always restricted in that humanity. Because remember, Jesus being through man and through God and through man, the two natures together in perfect union, but the divine is inexhaustible. It doesn't have an end. As in the humanity, we see in the Gospels that Jesus was tired. He was afraid. He needed help in his humanity to carry the cross. So we see those limitations, but we see that in the union of the two wills, he found the perfect correspondence because he, being God, he emptied himself and became one like us. Why? Just for the fun of it? No, because there was a purpose. What is the purpose? To create the dispositions so that the whole human race will receive what God intended for the whole human race to have since the beginning. And what is that? The two wills operating as one. So the passion, the death, the resurrection is a preparation for this gift. The sacraments, now you see that the sacraments, they are a little taste of what he wants us to possess at every moment. And it is what the saints possess forever in heaven. At every single moment, they receive that divine infusion. It's like receiving the Eucharist at every moment and now experiencing with the, at every moment that tsunami of love. But what happened with them? That they are not able to receive any merit anymore. Because they see it now as it is. They are able to love perfectly according to their own capacity. But they are not able to receive any merit, any reward. As for us, this is the gift that we are able to receive that reward, which the church calls it merit. And even though we don't experience, we don't see what the saints, they are able to see it clearly, we are called through faith to believe it. And that's what the church tells us. That's why it tells us we need to be catechized. And to be catechized is to be instructed and to know these teachings. So now, the Lord, he felt himself that dominion of the divine will. He was invested with that love, that he felt the correspondence. He says there were two continuous acts fusing one. The happy Eden with which I was to place in force all the beauty, the sanctity, the sublimity of the creation of man. He was innocent and holy, and I, surpassing him, was not only innocent and holy, but was the eternal Word. So he again tells us here, basically, how Adam was created. Innocent, holy, with no need of anything, with very specific things to do. His will was expressed, the will of God was expressed very clear. But then the Lord says, but now, and I surpass, yes, because he is God himself. And why did he chose to come and become like us? To reconcile us so that that harmony that Adam possessed at the beginning could be restored. You can say, well, why didn't, or you can ask, why didn't he just forgive them right after and then welcome them back, gave them another chance right there? Because a reconciliation was needed. Justice demanded. And what is justice? To give to the other what belongs to the others. And since he lost this gift, there had to be a restitution, a repayment, a reordering. And Adam, he didn't have this power. He lost that power, that gift. So the restitution needed to be done, and this is what our Lord Jesus did. But that's not the whole story. Now we can see that what he wants to give to the whole human race is this gift that Adam lost. So to understand basically through these writings, now we are able to understand the whole picture. And that will give us the vision, the clarity, and hopefully it will fill us with the hope and the faith that we need to be able to also want to operate in this way, to give our yes to the Lord, our fiat, so that as Luisa was instructed, now we come to be instructed through the church and through these writings together. So even Luisa, she was catechized. If we take that concept of the church that says that catechesis means to understand the faith, to study the faith, to be instructed and educated in the faith. Our Lord Jesus instructed Luisa Picaretta in how to unite ourselves in with his will and why to do this and what are the things that are needed for us to create the dispositions in our souls to prepare ourselves to receive this gift. So we know that every single act that we do, every time that we do our prevenient and actual act, those are dispositions. They dispose our soul to receive more and more. Every time that we pray, those things also, they dispose our souls. And we will never be able to say, I have exhausted the will of God, because God is inexhaustible. So I'm going to remind you again, like I always say, that the older that you are, the more acts, the more you can offer to God. Because every single act creates in you a new disposition to receive something new, more. And on the part of God, it allows him to give you more. So you are in the disposition to receive, and God is in the disposition to give. And this is what happened in the state of holiness in which Adam was created. He was created in that disposition. It was natural for him to be open to receive and for God to give. It was until he decided to exercise his human will against the will of God that he lost this gift. And so we see exactly the opposite in the person of Jesus, that he never departed from that union. And this is what gained for us that reconciliation. And now through these writings, we see now where the Lord wants to take the whole human race. So every time that we dispose ourselves to receive this gift, every time that we do our part, the Lord can say he's able to find, right, in you that Eden or that Bethlehem in which the divine will was operated perfectly, was love and correspond perfectly at every moment. So you have chance, read that passage from volume 12, because we can see that even Saint Joseph, because even Saint Joseph learned how to correspond. It wasn't his mission to teach about this. It wasn't his mission to do miracles. He didn't do any miracle. But our Lord explains very clearly there that he knew. Because his mission was to be the guardian of the divine will in the house of Nazareth. The custodian. The image of that, the human image of the paternity of God. And even the Blessed Mother mentions this in the lessons. So let me see. Our Lord mentioned something here too. He says, our love will have felt stop and as though impotent, which cannot be, had I not complete mended the loss of fallen men. See, he and the destiny of the way he was created, for the way of the way he was created. He mentions the word mended, restore. I have mentioned this in the past, but you can see this in the gospel, in the public life of our Lord Jesus, that he performed the miracles, restored the sight of the blind, cleaned the lepers, everything, all those external miracles. So at a physical level, yes, he's restoring men that after the fall, we inherit this spiritual leprosy, this spiritual blindness, deafness. At the interior, at the spiritual level, he's restoring us, enabling us to walk again on that path in union with the Lord, to see that union and to be able to hear also the voice of God, which is in the church, the Gospels. And one of the things that, or one of the ways we can exercise this way of living and to put it into practice, I will say, kind of like the practicality of the divine will every day that we go to Mass, or every day that we hear the Gospels, is just basically asking the Lord for the gift of the divine will to descend upon earth with his own acts. Every time that we hear the gospel or we read the gospel, we can say, I place my I love you in every single miracles that you perform, or you perform in this particular gospel, or with the words that I hear in this gospel. Let's give you an example. When we hear the Beatitudes, with your own words, I ask you for the gift of the divine will to descend upon my soul and upon all the human race, to put our I love you in every single act that he did, because those acts that he did, they were also preparation for him to go and accomplish his mission on the cross to restore us. Those little actions also in his public life, I shouldn't say little, but those acts, one by one, was mending us. And he was thinking in each one of us to be mended. Because He got himself. In him, he possesses the attribute of the omnividence. He's able to see and know even those who have not been born yet. Because in him there is one eternal present. So unless we reject it, but now that we know with a little bit more of clarity what his mission is and why these writings are so important for us, is to exercise ourselves and to always take advantage of the opportunity when we hear the Gospels, even when we go to Mass, to make even a habit. But every time that you go to Mass, you will make a point to say, I thank you for all the works of creation, all the acts of redemption, sanctification. It is to make it a habit. I put my I love you in every single act of creation and redemption and sanctification, just to make it a habit. To ask for the gift of the divine will with the same words of the gospel, with the same miracles that he performed. To ask it for ourselves and for everybody else. Therefore, Bethlehem was my first city in which I had and embraced all the acts that innocent Adam did and those which he would have done had he not fallen. Our divinity was waiting with justice, my requital in his place. And as I kept redoing what innocent Adam would have done, so I lower myself and stretch out my hand to lift up again, to lift him up again from his fallen state. I wanted also to share a little text. Probably some of you know it already. Probably some of you pray already with these writings. But it's a very famous text. Those who read the liturgy of the hours during Holy Saturday, in there you will find it's a homily that is in the Liturgy of the Hours for Holy Saturday. And in that homily, it's a beautiful explanation of what the Lord Jesus does once he goes to that place that we can call it limbo, because all the righteous people waiting for the Lord to open the doors of heaven, basically, is in the Liturgy of the Hours, in the Office of Readings for Holy Saturday. And I think it's very fitting for us because we are talking about Adam. And in this passage, the Lord says that with everything that he was doing, he was redoing what Adam did in his original state of holiness before the fall, and then he continued to do what he would have done, or he was supposed to do, had he remained in that union. And at the same time, with those acts, he was lifting him up. So if you think about that for a little bit, it's like with every single act that he was doing, he was basically paying to the Divine Majesty, paying him back for what Adam and the whole human race was supposed to do, was owing at that moment. And at the moment of his death, when he descends into that part, then he just goes and rescues them. He goes also and announces basically the kingdom to them, to those people. But remember, Adam would have known about this gift. You could say Joseph would have known about this gift. But the rest, they didn't. The rest, they didn't. I also mentioned that in the past, I mentioned that those of you who read the writings of Maria Valtorta, there is a beautiful passage in the first book that when the Lord reveals to Maria Valtorta the death of Saint Joseph, that what Saint John of the Bap what John of Baptist is for us, or was for the Jewish people at that time, to go, his message is to prepare the way of the Lord, because he's coming. And then when Jesus comes, and then he says, I must decrease, and he must increase, because now he's here. And this is my purpose for which I was born, to announce the coming of the Lord, which fulfills the passage from the prophet Isaiah, that basically is God talking to Jesus before being incarnated, and says, behold, I'm sending my messenger ahead of you, referring to John the Baptist. So what John the Baptist is for us, Saint Joseph is for those in limbo. Because it's a beautiful explanation when Saint Joseph is dying and the Lord says, now I thank you, my good fathers. I thank you for all you have given me, all the care that you have given me, all that you taught me and everything. Now you have fulfilled your purpose, and now it's time for you to go and continue your mission, to go to those in limbo and tell them to prepare, because I'm coming, that you have seen the Christ. Right? So for us, this is our mission now. This is our mission. And the Lord reveals that those who learn this gift here, those who attain the gift here, they will have also a different mission in heaven. They will be able to go around, basically, and through them, our Lord will be able to give them more in an accidental way. But that's the passage. If you want to look at those two passages, that's a lot of homework for you, a lot of information. So please, hopefully this helps us to understand. So through the writings of Luis, especially through Adam's writings, that the Lord wants to restore to all the human race the gift that he gave us. And this is the way, and we see that it is in perfect unison with the church, with the teachings of the church. Just 381 of the catechism. We have to be like him, one of many. And to be one like him, we have to have this, the will of God operating in us. In him, there were two wills. but only one rain. So it has to happen the same in us. Only the will of God operating in us, allowing him to repeat his life in us. Let's go to the letter tonight.